Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in tonight's comic book club. Here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salgan.
Everybody, welcome to Comic Book Club, the only live weekly talk show about comic books. That's
ever.
A little question mark.
Hey, nothing else.
You weren't sure, huh?
Leave it up in the air.
Just in case, I've been gone for a week. I was out of town, so it's possible the show is about something entirely different.
Shit, we're crazy.
We changed a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I go away for a week, and now there's no couches.
Yeah, that was your choice, and fuck that.
Whoa!
I missed those couches, and now we got these.
We have chairs instead of couches. For those of you listening at home, we have chairs. We don't have couches.
We talked about this. We're going to do trust falls.
See what happens when you go to LA? You get all feely and in touch with their emotions.
Alex, while you were gone, we all got wasted during the show. Yeah! And we killed the guy that usually sits in the front row. He's not here. He's gone. I don't know what happened to him. We murdered him.
That's what happens when you drink.
Yeah.
All right, very cool. Well, I'm sorry I missed it, guys, and I'm glad to be back.
Aww.
I'm glad you're back, too. Less murder during the show.
Yeah,
that's
just
all
a
I
little less,
for.
Guys, so watch out. Speaking of murder, this is a good point to introduce Booth Man, or Man of the Booth.
Booth Man! Resident supervillain?
Resident supervillain, yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, no problem.
Cool. Be careful. He's also going to murder people. We have a very exciting show for each of you tonight, guys. We have three guests, as you can probably tell from the number of chairs. Very cool. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce them.
Labia.
All right, I'm going to take a deep breath. I didn't do week off. I didn't do my.
Red leather, lemon yellow face.
Leather.
You guys came expecting to hear a lot about comic books, right? No, I'm just going to do my breathing exercise.
This is an actor's workshop.
Ladies and gentlemen, Arvin Schumer, Carolyn Castiglia, and Darren Passarello!
I was so angry a minute ago. This is a delight.
Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. It's great to have you here. This is a eclectic show for us, I think.
Yeah. That's rude. That's not rude. Don't take that as an insult.
This is a show full of jerks. You guys are jerks,
right? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No!
Oh, yeah.
All right, sweet. Well, Arlen, why don't we start with you? You're basically a scholar of comic books, essentially, as well as being an artist, correct?
Is that a bad thing?
No, that's a good thing.
Do people make fun of you when you hear the term scholar of comic books?
You know, I think anybody that grew up with comics, if you love comics, you just, I think, naturally fall into loving the history of comics. And
Pete, he has that memento disease.
I'm going to tattoo on the pieces together.
I'm going to tattoo your faces on his back.
So, when I was a kid...
didn't even blink an eye on it.
He's a scholar. Focus.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry.
No, but you know,
we've got 8 minutes until Peter says.
When I was 8 years old, there was a buzz going around school that in the library, there was a book about comics. And that was unheard of. And it was Jules Feiffer's The Great Comic Book Heroes. And that was the first, you know, history book about comics. But at a time where there were no books about comics. So I think even as a kid, that put me on, you know, that track to wanting to do kind of a coffee table art book about comic book history, which I just happen to have.
Oh, wow. What a coincidence.
Oh, that's so weird.
Good thing you didn't sit on the end.
Exactly. The Silver Age of comic book art, about comic book art in the 1960s. And it was really a dream come true to be able to do that.
Well, what draws you to, say, the Silver Age as opposed to, I don't know, Golden Age, Bronze Age?
Well, even as a kid,
Stone Age.
Even as a kid, I thought
the sexy age.
The sexy age.
Oh, it starts today.
Right.
It starts right now. Let's do it. Yeah. Pete, back me up. No, back me up.
He doesn't have it. Pete, Comic Book Club.
Yeah.
Hey, let's do it. We got a great show for you tonight.
No, we're past that. We're past that.
I was going to say, even as a kid, I thought the Golden Age comic art looked really crude and ugly, but coming of age during the 60s, those artists, you know, Jack Kirby, Infantino, Gil Kane, Neil Adams, all those guys were brilliant artists.
One of the nice things about that book is a lot of books that you get, you know, about different time periods, really focus on the way this is written, but this focuses all on the art. You know, so it's nice to have, I enjoy pictures, not words. So I was really pleased when
I mean, the thing about comics, they're primarily a visual medium, and it always bothered me that most books about comics were text heavy with miniature reproductions, and I thought, a medium that's so visual, why isn't there a book about, you know, this is the only book that's really, it's about, you know, the artwork first, and the text is supplementary. There's never really been a book, you know, like this.
That's awesome.
That presents the art first and the text, you know, supplementary.
Eventually, books will have no words.
Yeah!
Actually, you also are an artist in your own right, and you recently did the cover of the New York Post, right?
What else you got back there?
Yeah. No, greatest cover.
I do comic book
history.
Art, but for advertising magazines, not for the comic book companies themselves. And on the New York Post, Super Bowl Sunday, did the wraparound cover.
No, just show the front part. All we need is that front part. Just hold that back over. There we go. Just the front.
But yeah, they called Thursday before the Saturday it was due of, you know, of the weekend of Super Bowl Sunday. But, you know, we knocked it out. And then they ended up winning, which was even, you know, better.
Yeah, it was.
So those are football players.
Yes.
On the cover.
Super heroic football players.
Wait, open it up.
Doesn't make sense to me.
It's nice to know that the Giants beat the Asterix.
Yeah.
I also appreciate that you saved Parade in the middle. Nobody else can see that. That's a joke.
There's a lot of private jokes.
No, it's funny, but I had the Patriot logo there, and the editor calls up right before the art was due and says, can you take out the logo and put an asterisk? Yeah. I'm like, why? And she goes,
bunch
well,
of cheaters, that's why.
If you have to be a real sports buff to know that all during the year, the New York Post writers were referring to the Patriots with an asterisk because the videotape scandal, which of course I have him holding the video camera right there, but that wasn't enough. They want the asterisk. I thought it was stupid, but so be it.
Well, it's nice because it gives him a little. To some people, it looks like he just has a flower on his chest.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
what
I thought it was.
Yes.
Yeah, he's probably a pussy.
Yeah!
Yeah, right? Football.
Well, I had to make, you know, Eli Manning more dominant, so I did give him a slightly more effeminate superhero outfit with a thigh-high white boot.
Nice. He has a Doctor Strange cape.
Yes.
I will say.
Which people picked up as devil horns, which I didn't even realize until it was pointed out.
A lot going on there.
He didn't realize until he placed his bet on the Giants.
A lot of football fans deconstructed the imagery of that.
Sure. Absolutely.
Carolyn, let's turn over to you. You, generally speaking, are a comedian, but you had one sort of foray into anime, right?
I did. Foray into anime. Sounds as gross as it is.
It was hentai, right?
It was, yeah. It was in the TV show.
Keep bringing that up.
What? You don't want me to talk about tentacle porn?
No, tentacle porn.
Hentai
right?
Is tentacle porn.
Yeah. Well, actually.
Awesome! Woo!
Woo! That's a really good. He's not saying technical porn, as in Jenna Jameson fucking a roadie. He's talking about tentacle porn, as in ladies with octopi. And that's an interesting segue because the anime that I voiced was called Shadow Star Narutaru. Anybody? And I happened to notice that Narutaru is a word in the Urban Dictionary. One of its meanings is, I'm gonna go Narutaru on your ass, which means you're in big trouble. And then the second meaning offered is either suicidal schoolgirls and freaky dragon things, or tentacle raping.
Wow.
Validation.
A lot of pride for knowing what tentacle porn is.
Yeah.
A lot of pride.
You're
other than the tentacle porn you were involved in, did you what's the first comic book you can remember reading at all? And was it right before this show?
First of all, I don't read. And second of all,
this is Pete.
Later on, we're gonna feel things together.
Nice. Pete likey.
Yeah.
Pete reads Braille. You're not gonna get that podcast, and that's why you should have shown up. because nice. I'm a girl.
Two girls in the house.
I just started reading Wonder Woman because of Terry Dodson's artwork.
It's beautifully done. Yeah.
It is. And actually, a lot of people in the feminist stitch and bitch circles have been academically studying Wonder Woman and how she changed throughout the years. And, you know, in the 70s, she became kind of this, like, iconic sex pot with blue. Yes?
You lost me with the stitch and bitch. Same else?
Well, shake
and
bake.
I agree with you.
What does that mean?
It's like
Bust Magazine. It's basically when hipsters get together. Yeah. When hipsters get together. You know.
That's beautiful.
I hope you're not doing that.
Yeah, imagine you with a wig. Weird.
It's when hipsters get together and are looking for something else to do besides shoot heroin. They knit stuff. Like, you know, maybe a cozy for their comic book.
So it's either do heroin or knit.
Pretty much.
Why can't they do both?
Yeah.
No.
You have a needle.
Heroin.
You have a needle and bone.
Yeah. Needle and bone.
You're losing people. You're losing people with that. Alex.
You're missing this great pantomime of rubber arms.
We call them rubber arms.
Yeah, all rubber arms. That's me.
Well, Darren, why don't we move over to you for a moment? Hi.
Hey.
So, Darren, you were on Who Wants to Be a Superhero, right?
Yeah. Nice work out there.
Fans of the show.
Woo! For a whole 10 minutes. So that's awesome.
First guy thrown off. Yeah!
Second guy
thrown off. Oh, my bad.
Yeah. I like to remind people of that. Yeah. For those of you I can't see from the lights.
Yeah, the first guy was the guy with, what was it, Rodiart?
Rodiart?
No, he wasn't even a contestant.
I thought you were going to say the first
no,
guy.
No, but the
was
other
the guy
was like, I want to sell action figures. And
which was
the trainer.
Which was sad because everyone was making fun of Rodiart, like in the house.
He was fat.
We didn't even know. Yeah, because he was like, his costume was melting.
Yeah.
We're standing in the hall and he's like, yeah, I've had this costume for 10 years and it's leaking down his leg.
Leaking what?
Just like,
what leaks from clothing?
It was like silver, it was like silver paint and soiling green, if that makes sense.
It's people.
Yeah. Someone just shouted out soiling green.
Yeah. Do you not know our fan base? Yeah. She's been waiting for 4 years to say that.
But no, it was pretty weird because like we all teamed up to make fun of this guy and like poke at him. Which was sad because we're all supposed to be superheroes. And then picked the one guy that didn't say anything bad about him. Like, they kicked off. So, yeah. And besides, like, I'm dyslexic, and the fact that I didn't pick up on Rhodey Arbor's traitor is really, really sad.
Hey, man, it's not that bad, all right?
Yeah.
Reading is hard.
It is.
Did you take away one thing of the show? Picture is good, words bad.
Could you tell us how you got kicked off?
Basically, I was an asshole and kind of figured since I'm like 5'4".
Say no more.
Yeah, well. You know, because I'm from New York and like we don't care about helping people, or especially little crying children. And so we just like, I jumped over a bum to get to the finish line. I ran past a crying girl who was apparently looking for her mother.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole mindset was, well, I'm going to be fat mama. She's like 2'10".
That was a great challenge though,
yeah.
I will say. That was pretty smart.
Which I think they photoshopped the girl in at the end because I did not, I honestly did not get a sort of crying.
I'm a mother, I never
though.
Hear my girl crying. Yeah. That happened.
So what have you been doing since the show? You've been...
I've been going to school, I'm finishing college, so in like 2 months I'm done with school finally.
But you guys toured though, right?
Yeah, we did like a whole press tour and thing for about a year.
How was touring, man? Was it awesome? Did you have a bus?
No.
They flew, duh.
Oh, right.
We carpooled.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stanley didn't want to pick that up.
No.
No Fantasticar?
Yeah.
I paid my own flight back to California, and then they just started to comp it. And Feedback's wife kind of drove us around in their car. And from,
she's
like,
a peach.
Yeah, she is. Very nice gal.
Have you been fighting any crime?
No, I haven't. Ironically enough.
I don't know if you want to be a superhero.
There's this real-life superhero brigade that, like, skulks on roofs every night.
What?
Yeah.
I read about this. There's about, like, 200 real superheroes
in the United
States.
It's really, really weird.
Yeah, they have a MySpace page.
Like, and it's better. It's, like, 10 times better than any MySpace page I've seen, which is sad. But
what do they do?
They skulk on roofs. They sit on rooftops with binoculars in costumes.
But do they actually do anything when they see a crime?
No,
of them fall.
Several of them get murdered.
They're crime watchers.
Like a photo shoot for Radar Magazine. and I didn't know it was with these guys, like the real life superhero brigade. So I show up there, and it's, you know, I'm like, what the hell? What did I sign up to? And it's like in the middle of Harlem, which is really bad to begin with. And they're walking down.
If you're a white girl in Harlem, you have superpowers. I lived there for 4 years. I love you. We're going out.
I just want to go on. I want to go on and say Harlem is awesome. I love Harlem.
He fights crime there in Dinosaur Barbecue. Yeah. He fights any barbecue-based crimes up
there. If I eat your ribs, I'm going to keep that to my opinion.
Way to take it away from the potential racism. Yeah, we deal with barbecue a lot.
All right, let's move on to that recession, which we like to call the stack. All right, first issue we are going to talk about today is New Avengers 38, called The Breakup.
Spoiler.
Wow. What'd you guys think about this issue?
This was tough for me because it's like, usually I don't like relationship stuff at all.
Even in real life.
Yes, thank you. This comic, it was so well done, and like, I was screaming along with Luke Cage. Like, I was just like, what the fuck? Are you, like, and it was just... It was very emotional, very well written. It was a fantastic comic.
For those of you who haven't been keeping up, Luke Cage and Jessica Jones are a couple in the Marvel Universe. They've been together for probably, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I followed them in that book Alias, which is
the same team. This is...
yes, Michael Gatos's art,
it's great,
has just gotten better and better. I mean, yeah, it's awesome. Excellent.
It's great. And it's one of the few couples, we were talking about this, I'd like to say the last show, since the show before this one didn't exist.
It's bullshit.
All right, I'm just saying.
Don't point.
But we were talking about how couples generally in comics last for an issue, something like that. It's only a way to get them together so they can break them apart.
And interracial couples last less than an issue.
Yeah. And this has been 4 or 5 years, and they've been together. Basically, Jessica Jones has gotten to the point where she feels like she's had enough. She doesn't want to leave Luke Cage, but she wants her baby to be safe, so she moves into Avengers Tower. There's this whole split among the Avengers, if you haven't been reading it, and Luke Cage gets very upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do? I mean, here you are, you're saying, hey, the Registration Act is bullshit. If I'm a superhero, I'm doing the right thing. I shouldn't have to be, you know, government watched and all that kind of stuff. And then it's like, his wife gets a little freaked out. Which
well,
is
like,
understandable.
100 ninjas showed up.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's understandable.
What if you had a baby? 100 ninjas showed up.
I would hope my baby could kick some ass. If it's really my baby, we'll work some stuff out. But anyway.
Pull out his double baby gun.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah!
But anyways.
Yeah!
comic book, right.
New Avengers.
So anyways, I just thought it was really great the way it was like, you know, because he's sticking near his principles, she's doing what's right, and you can kind of see both sides.
Here's my biggest problem with it. Her whole argument is she leaves Doctor Strange house because they were attacked by 100 ninjas. Yep. So she goes to Avengers Tower, which, like, 2 months ago was completely destroyed by the Hulk and Iron Man fighting and destroying Avengers Tower. So her solution is to go to the second most dangerous place.
You go down a list.
Yeah, you go down
a list. And then you go to the volcano with your baby, and then you watch him, though.
Right.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, but she's around friends. I mean, they're setting up the conflict because the rumors are out there that either Luke Cage or Jessica Jones is a Skrull.
Yeah.
And that this baby is half Skrull, half human. Right. So that's what they're setting up, is a split there, and then we'll see which one is the Skrull. Yeah, right.
You guys are really into this scroll thing. Yeah. Cole, what would you say? In general, though, I think the issue is pretty good.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's well drawn. It's well written.
Yeah.
You do not like it.
I mean, I don't agree personally because I feel like nothing really happened. It went on way too long.
Yeah, that's usually how I feel.
Well, I feel like it's a pretty typical Bendis trick of having a bunch of action-y issues and then one issue where it's just talking. Wow. For some sort of big relationship thing, like breaking up or
making up.
One issue that he wrote ahead of time so we could go on vacation.
Yeah, pretty much.
I would like to offer my interpretive reading of this panel of Jessica, if I could do that.
Yeah,
great.
This is why she left, guys.
Oh, wow. Final.
I know our baby wasn't safe in the environment we were providing for her, Luke. The bad guys came crashing through the front door! Luke! What the... sign, number sign, dollar sign, percentage sign was I supposed to do, Luke? I'm not going to screw up being a mom like I screwed up everything else in my life, Luke!
So you would say not, don't pick this up. You guys would say pick this up, right?
Well, if you're going to read it.
Well, I never said don't pick it up.
And I would also would say
you?
Don't.
I picked it up. I bought it.
But for other people who haven't, would you say pick it up?
You don't really need, all you really need to know is, you know, they're not together anymore. That's really my identity.
And their baby cries really boogery tears. If you look on the first
scroll trick.
Scroll.
Also, if you are going to pick up that comic, don't fold it over like that. I mean, that's just abuse.
Oh, God.
She's a girl. All
right, we're going to move on to something.
Wait, can I just add one last thing? Does everybody realize that Nicolas Cage changed his name from Nicolas Coppola because he was a comic book fan for Luke Cage?
Oh my God.
The more you know.
All right, for reals, y'all, we're going to move on to Green Arrow Black Canary number 5. What did you, this series is great, I think, so far. What did you guys think about this issue? I'm curious.
I like it a lot. It's Green Arrow's son was recently shot.
Yep.
And now he's in a coma. And so Green Arrow's like, I'm done shooting arrows at criminals. I'm going to sit here and watch my son in a coma. So, I don't know what's going to happen next issue, but this one was a lot about him sitting there.
Sort of like New Avengers.
Yeah, there's less crying.
We're like an in-action heroes.
Oh, right.
Oh.
I'm not going to.
I got you.
There was action heroes in the...
But it wasn't a good joke. All right, here's my...
I'm going to save a high five for this side. Right? Yeah.
I had a big problem with the first couple of pages of this issue. I love this series. I think it's great. It's very emotional. It usually is pretty action-y. It also is very funny at times. It's obviously funny, not just comic book funny.
Yeah.
But the first couple of pages, I had to check back several times to make sure it was actually Judd Winnick writing it. Because it felt like some of the most awkward writing I've read recently, at least.
Wow.
There's a whole exchange at the beginning between Black Canary and Dr. Midnight that just felt completely false. I can't really back it up more than that. Clearly, by your silence, I take it that you guys are insulted and are all
sorry. Whoa! You're flying off the handle. I don't know if anyone's insulted.
Yeah. But did you guys feel that at all? Or?
Well, it was. I feel like, I mean, they had a real nice four issues, the first four issues. And this, I think they had to kind of, like, force the story to go to the next part, and I think that may be why it seems all caricature. But I like where it's going, and I just, the series is great, it's well drawn.
I have to see what the hell you're talking about.
It involves the words.
Oh. No wonder I didn't catch on. I really love the way this is drawn. I mean, it's not typical, like, you know, you can see every ripple in the muscle. You know, the line's a little thicker. It's
you can
not,
see, like, dudes' crotches and stuff.
Yeah, you can do that, which is nice. But it's like it's a little bit more artsy for, you know, like an action superhero, which is enjoyable, which I think is cool.
It's a good title. Definitely recommend picking up the first four issues and this fifth issue and getting caught up. Let's move on to the first issue of Necropolis from Avatar.
Narcopolis. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's about narcotics. Yeah.
What'd you guys think about this?
This was so tripped out. I had to read it like 3 times. It was pretty crazy, like all the, you know, dialogue. They're in the future, so you can't really understand anything they're saying. And it's, I can't tell, like, who's doing drugs and who's just drinking out of a juice box.
Let me say there aren't a lot of juice boxes in the issue.
Yeah, there's only one.
In the future, juice boxes will have drugs
in them.
What the?
The one thing we actually know about backstage is the map to the crotchal region.
Yeah,
this guy has drawn on his stomach.
That's the nice thing about the future. You never miss the crotch.
Yeah.
It's laid right out for you.
I don't know how many people miss the crotch now. I know where the crotches are. I'm everyone in this room. Everyone.
You have super crotch vision.
I just felt everybody in the audience shift uncomfortably when you said that.
And there was, I'm not saying I'm looking, but I just know where they are.
To be fair, Pete, there was one guy who shifted comfortably.
My man, Dave.
This series is nuts. It's totally nuts.
Yeah. Well, I like it, though. It's kind of like, you know, 1984, the book, regular book?
I know 1984.
Regular book.
Remember 1984?
You know, yes. Real books?
I remember 1984, the commercial. No. That's what you're talking about.
Those are all words and no pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm lost.
Never seen them. They kind of double speak and how, like, in the future people talk differently. Well, this uses it well. Like, it kind of extrapolates how people will sound in the future. And it is crazy. It's a crazy issue, but maybe they have some where they're going.
Jamie Delano, I mean, I've been following his work. He had an incredible run on Hellblazer, like, years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a great, great writer. So it doesn't surprise me that you tell me that, you know, this creepy stuff is going on and, you know, coming up with his own language for the future. I mean, that's what he was doing in Hellblazer for years.
Yeah.
It's definitely...
I think the most important thing to note about this issue is that if we don't solve global warming, it's going to start raining dead people.
Yeah.
So Al Gore should pick that up.
Yeah.
That's totally true.
Can't believe he has it.
Would you guys recommend picking this up?
I don't know. I mean, it's unless you really... I don't know.
Unless you got $3, you're just dying to spend.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
buy a banana. Wait.
Yeah, no,
get a hot dog and a half.
Get some potassium
and a half.
For those of you who've had enough superheroes, this is not superheroes.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I don't think anybody's
it's nice different, which is enjoyable, but
let's move on and talk about some superheroes. Okay, X-Force number one by one of our favorite teams, Kyle and Yost, who did up until a little while ago, New X-Men.
Yeah.
This surprised me. This was so much better than I thought it would. It's basically
Would you think X-Force was going to be awesome?
All right. It's
okay. It's basically they took all the Wolfie characters from the X-Men and put them together on a team, and they're like the extreme team that eats people or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. What's not to love about that? Who doesn't want a Wolfpack team?
I don't know.
Me neither.
Who is it? Wolverine and who else?
Well, Wolverine, Wolfsbane.
Yeah.
X-23, who is the female tiny clone of Wolverine.
You can tell, and she's like almost as good as him because she has two claws instead of three. So she's like...
Yeah, but then... Aw,
she feels so equal!
Yeah.
No, but she's got...
There's
got
a real claw ceiling for her.
And there's Warpath, who's like Wolverine, but bigger with two claws. So it's a bunch of Wolverines on a team. So if you like Wolverine, here's four Wolverines.
But even the one character without claws has like four knives. So like
and
it's
he
just
holds
very
it right here.
They're very sharp. They're just a sharp team.
Yeah.
They're not like they're gonna fight below.
But it totally works. That's the thing that completely surprised me about it is that it's enjoyable. One of the best things about New X-Men, I think, is that nobody was safe at any point. You had no idea which were gonna be the main characters at any point.
Yeah.
And with this, it's four characters. So you're like, they can't just start randomly killing off people. But they've still managed to ratchet up the danger for the characters and make it very real.
Yeah, and it's a tough kind of mission statement for the book where they're like, all right, you're the extreme X-Men. Like, when shit gets too crazy for the regular X-Men, we send you guys in.
The triple X-Men.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, all right, like, stuff's
that's
pretty crazy.
That's a different
thing. That's anime porn.
I love how they throw in the, just so you know, if you're on this team, you can't hang out with Iceman anymore. Like, the one dialogue blurb on one of the pages. Like, Iceman's the coolest character to hang out with.
He's the coolest. He's made of ice.
So would you say pick it up? Yes?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Pick it up if you're a novice like me. Pick it up for the PSA in the back. which reads, I know this guy on my block. Every time I see him, he asks me to get high. And every time I tell him, I'm not into that. But... if he wants to sit around listening to Dashboard Confessional and cutting our thighs, that's totally cool.
Did you add that last part?
No.
Real dashboard slam.
Yeah, wow.
So that was an anti-Dashboard Confessional PSA.
The government's on it.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on and talk about The Walking Dead, number 46. You guys love this series, huh?
Do you like zombies?
Yes.
Yeah. This is good if you like zombies.
Yeah.
I like it. It's great. And they're like, it's been a long kind of quiet patch where it's been like, not a lot of zombies. And now they're killing people.
Okay, I have a question to ask you guys, right?
Sure.
It's going to be condescending.
Yep.
This is going to be a little condescending.
Yeah.
I respect this title. It's not my favorite thing. I generally like Kirkman stuff. For whatever reason, it hasn't really grabbed me.
Agreed.
Definitely, there's been a lot of waiting until this arc, and this arc is the general who recently is the arch-villain of the series, essentially, yeah. Mm-hmm. is attacking our heroes in their prison.
From a rival, like, human camp.
Okay, I missed the last issue, right?
Where were you? What were you doing?
Out.
You do a show called Comic Book Club.
Yeah, I don't like
how
comics.
Do you miss?
I don't like comics. Listen, so...
He's in for the host.
Basically, the last I saw, the general was coming towards the prison and then got driven away from the prison.
Yeah.
Then I missed an issue. Now he's coming towards the prison in this issue, and then he leaves the prison.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So the last issue, did he come towards the prison?
Yeah, yeah, he didn't get too close.
Oh, man.
He's just moving a lot. Yeah.
That's my problem with this. This is finally, like, Kirkman's chance to really kick it out and be like, shit's happening. Even the previously on is the shit hits the fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing's happening.
What are you talking about? He comes to the prison, and then he goes away. And then he comes to the prison.
And then he goes away.
What are you talking about not happening?
Think about what next time he's going to come back, and then something's going to happen.
And then he's going to leave.
Could be. We don't know. We don't know.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
So well written.
Yeah.
So well written.
I hate to be the happy comic who says, why they gotta kill the black man, but why they gotta kill the black man?
Well, it's funny, there was a big issue with this series because a couple story arcs ago, they had this horrible, like really horrifying rape scene, and it was the only black female character gets raped. Yeah. And he got so much hate mail about it, and in the letters page of this issue, he writes, I know you're going to write me about killing the only other black character. And I was like, well, yeah! Because that's what you did! Why did you do that? And I don't get it either. Like, he seems
to be fair, they very slowly chopped his head off.
Yeah, which is...
Yeah, because first there was a thunk, and then there was a schlock, and then there was a shuck, and then a wump.
Yeah.
And then was how
it's almost Dr. That's, Susie in here. Yeah.
That's racist.
It's also Black History Month.
Yeah, it's a good point.
That's a question. Where are the happy, fun comics? Narcopolis, X-Force with the blades,
walking
guys. You see the world out there? It's crazy.
Yeah.
We used to have a couch here and it's gone. Right? The world's fucked
I
up.
Heard.
Do you know who took it?
Drug dealers.
Slashed. What?
Yeah, I know. Actually, we're talking about something, and this might be a little controversial, but I think is actually very fun, which is cool. Amazing Spider-Man. Say what you want about the whole one more day thing. I'm actually really enjoying the brand new.
You're a fucking sellout, dude. What the hell?
I agree with Alex.
What?
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know you guys.
I agree with Alex.
You agree?
This means anger. I think
Dan Slott is a great writer.
Yes, he is. I wouldn't argue with that.
The first arc was phenomenal. I think Dan Slott did a great setup and has moved it into.
Talking about where Spider-Man? Sold his relationship to the devil?
No, that was the prior one.
I'm talking about the great arc.
The one that pretends it never happened. That story. Oh, okay.
For those of you who aren't keeping up, like Pete said, Spider-Man made a deal with the devil to save the life of his Aunt May in exchange for his marriage, and basically the whole world got reset. The point of that is to make Spider-Man comics fun again. And
what?
I actually think they've succeeded. This current arc by Mark Guggenheim, enjoyable.
Yeah, I agree. You're going
to
have a great
Okay, writer. Wait a second. You're supposed to be... All right. Spider-Man is an amazing comic book
You're
character.
You're like Yosemite Sam right now.
What?
But it's not real. He has to be amazing. It's in the title.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you believe in this guy. You watch him. You go through all his adventures. And then all of a sudden he goes, oh, hi, devil. Yeah, sure, I'll make a deal with you. What? That is the most ridiculous writing ever.
I think
a good guy should not make a deal with the devil.
Wait, is this before or after she kisses him when he's upside down?
Oh, God.
Just checking.
The thing is, if you get past that, because they don't mention any of that in here.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I'm still too torn up about it to move on.
It's no different than the end of Dallas where the guy comes out of the shower and everything was a dream. It's pathetic. I mean, I don't read this stuff. But, I mean, if I were reading it, I wouldn't be reading it. Because how can you even deal with that? With such a, you know, plastic...
It's
words can't
exist. You feel like it's a bit of a betrayal, is I guess what you're saying.
Imagine if they ended The Sopranos like that.
Oh. Pointed. That's pointed. Yeah. When are they going to come out with a Dallas comic?
I love that he called it Dialis, like it rhymed with Cialis.
Or dialysis.
I don't know. Definitely, if you're completely upset about it, don't pick it up. But I would say, what is a fun comic?
It's good, and this is where, like, you're not going to change it. It's going forward.
No, but it's all because they didn't want to deal with the marriage of Mary Jane and Peter. So instead of ending it realistically, and Marvel Comics was built on characters acting realistically, instead of having them divorce or break up, they bring in this devil concept.
Why couldn't they?
Which is like, and they've never even explained.
It's a lazy solution, but they want to keep the Peter Parker character like unmarred by that, like a divorce or a breakup. Because I mean, he's not going to come out looking good, so people will be like, "Oh, this makes me sad."
But he comes out looking better by making a deal with the devil.
It's
not even the devil.
Yeah, I know, but like, in your life, like, you probably know people that are divorced, but you don't know, like, the devil.
Well, you just have the women that are divorced.
What does that mean?
Huh?
Like, so, why couldn't really he make a deal with God?
Because why would God do that?
I will say, I don't know
what if God is the devil.
This is getting crazy.
Think about it.
There is. Not to spoil anything, but there are rumors that Mephisto is coming back into the book at some point.
Awesome! Great idea! Great plan!
So they are going to deal with this. They are going to deal with this.
They're going to deal with the devil.
Yeah, they're going to deal with the devil. All right, let's move on to
talk about
something.
Come on, the Charlie Daniels band sang about it, and we all didn't give a shit.
I don't know. I stopped picking up their albums. let's talk about BPRD 1946 number 2.
Sorry.
Peter, are we talking about this because you liked it or something?
We both enjoyed it.
We both liked it. Peter and I are friends.
It's fun. Yeah.
It's Mike Mignola, I think, I mean, he tends to write, he wrote Hellboy.
Yes,
it's all kind of the same, like, God, it's so dark. Man, we should read our mythology books because there's something bad happening. But this is actually interesting. It's the storyline is cool. The characters are well done, and I like it. I like that.
I feel like he's trying to expand the universe beyond Hellboy, and you know, some of his titles are more successful than others, but I really like this one. I feel like it's a very strong start.
I will say he's obsessed with Nazis. Every single thing he writes, he's like.
Yeah.
That's kind of my problem with it. It feels a little bit like a retread of things that he's done before. Totally fine. He's a great artist. He's a very good writer. It just feels like a little bit of more of the same. I would be interested to see him write something other than Hellboy and BPRD stuff.
Yeah, but I think he's made a pretty good stand that he's not going to do that.
Ever.
Yeah, never again.
Yeah.
He used to draw Darkhawk, remember that? Anybody?
Do you guys like Hellboy?
Nope.
What do you think?
No.
No?
I'm a mainstream superhero fan.
Fair enough. Don't put it on our face.
That's cool.
Okay, we can move on to talk about some mainstream
superheroes. Hey,
Let's talk about Wolverine.
Yeah, this is a great comic.
This is Wolverine after the aftermath of whatever the last thing was called that I've completely forgotten.
Messiah Complex.
Thank you. I knew there was something with an X in it. after the Messiah Complex, he is going after Mystique, who is sort of one of the big villains there.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think about this issue?
Do
I have a tell?
You have a tell, yeah.
I have a little bit of a tell that I don't like something.
Yeah,
you asked
because I just turned to you and asked what you thought first.
Yeah.
Well, what's exciting is Wolverine.
Is my tell telling you that I didn't like it?
You're
gonna play poker, man.
What's nice is Wolverine is back to being drawn well.
Thank you.
Yeah, the last.
I stopped reading it once Chaykin picked it up.
Yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed, he did some stuff on The Punisher, wasn't so bad, but, it's just tough when you like a character and then a new...
Love.
Well, yeah, okay, thank you.
You're in love.
Dude, don't make this awkward. when you really like a character more than just a friend, and is drawn by somebody different, you're like, that's not who I fell in love with, you know? So it's nice to get him back to the way I like him.
Yeah, love.
I don't know what... I had a point, but then...
love got in the way.
I don't know if you guys are going to see this coming, but this issue was stupid.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
How can you say
totally
is that good stupid or bad stupid?
Oh, it was stupid.
Yeah.
kind of stupid. Going to a prison camp, returning, then going back, kind of stupid.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Hey, that's not stupid.
Here's my problem with it. Is
that
like,
does happen.
I know Wolverine's a badass. I know Wolverine kills people. But during this issue, he sees a lady and he's like, I know you're Mystique. Stab! You're dead. Oh, you're not Mystique? All right, Mystique, come out here.
That was hilarious.
Stab the random lady
for
no reason.
You later find out that was Mystique in... the shape.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Reread it.
No, no, no.
It's
there's
Mystique.
A guy. There's a guy who was Mystique.
No, no. Mystique was had shapeshifted into Wolverine, killed the person. Then Wolverine shows in the town. They're like,
you're
killed
dead.
This girl. We
yeah.
hate you.
Yeah.
And so then Mystique's like laughing, and she's like half Wolverine and half Mystique.
All right, then I guess this issue was stupid.
Stupid good.
Yeah, but what's funny is like you're finding out, and you're like, oh, that's better. But I found out, and I was like, oh, that sucks.
Because you wish he killed him.
Yeah, a random person. That's funny.
You're weird.
Why can't girls just be honest?
Yeah. That's a fair point. All right, let's move on. Talk about Hero by Night number 2. Clever title aside, Pete, do you like this issue?
This was fantastic. Really just a great take on a average guy stumbling across a superhero costume and a ring that has powers. You know, it's a...
it's your standard take.
Yeah, you know, it just kind of, you know, it happens.
Torn from today's headline.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. The guy comes across a mysterious basement room that he's never seen before or noticed.
Totally.
And what does this ring do? Yeah, but I think it's fun. It's a cool way to deal with, hey, what would happen if you all of a sudden found a ring that had power?
That says it all.
It's a funny, charming book. It's very enjoyable.
It's drawn like, you ever watch Bucky O'Hare?
Yeah!
That's what it's drawn like, and I don't like that.
Oh, you asshole.
Bucky
O'Hare was Michael Golden. He's one of the great
artists. Yeah, thank
artists.
You.
Yeah, no. Makes me... sick.
Fuck.
It makes me nauseous. I don't know why.
What?
Maybe it was a cartoon.
Great cartoon.
When I was a kid when I did it. Maybe I was sick when I was. I don't know. It's a weird, like, sense memory.
I could write an entire thesis on the way women and minorities are portrayed in comic books. There's
a
very lovely.
When they're not getting raped. And
exactly. There's a very lovely elderly black woman on this page, and this is her line. Anyway. My grandson's joined the gang, Mr. King. And then he says, tell me something I don't know. It's amazing.
It happened in the first issue.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah. No, but I do agree with you. It's, you know, women and...
Because the thing is, one of these that we already looked at, the tits are so...
Yeah, it's really...
...redonkulous.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, awesome slash... What the... Like, because the thing is, these girls are so skinny, but they have, like, enormous fat woman tits.
No.
And frankly, you don't get to have both.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I got this shit because I got this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't get to be like, yeah, you know? That's not fair.
We're going to replay that sound effect.
I'm offended by the use of the word tits.
Oh, wow. You mean just from her mouth or general?
Just in general.
We had Rags Morales on here, who's kind of a popular artist, and he was like, I'm so sick of people complaining about the big tits. These are idealized women. In this universe, that's the way women look. And we were like, okay. That's a good answer for
how about,
that makes sense.
Objectifying
them.
Power girl
with
the
window.
Giant
so she can distract people. With
it's...
Yeah,
with
did anyone ever
Wally Wood.
Do this explanation for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
They had, in like the Power Girl classified run, they had like a really stupid explanation for why she has the hole. She's crying and she just goes, hey Superman, because I don't know what planet I'm from, and I can't be you, so there's a hole in my heart. And that's what this hole represents.
And her tits are just in the way.
Yeah, and
it's right in the way of her heart. Isn't that true?
All right, but that's it for the stack. Woo! Okay. Let's move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because it's the section you guys make up. It is your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Booth Bang!
Booth Bang!
Booth Bang! I'm still waiting. all right, so here's something cute that somebody did. They wrote a little Mad Lib.
Ooh.
Mad Lib?
Adorable. Adorable. All I need is
you guys
a noun.
Are precious.
A noun?
A noun. Yeah.
What does that mean?
A
what's
thing.
A noun?
It's a word.
Toilet.
Toilet. Okay.
It's the best thing to put in Mad Libs.
Get your
like,
mind out of the toilet.
Oh, man.
That's good.
Do you like toilet?
Oh, God.
Mad Libs are so unpredictable.
Should we answer that? I mean, I do like toilet.
Yeah.
I love
we should. Let's go down the line.
Do you like toilet?
I enjoy toilet.
Do you like toilet?
Prefer bidet.
Good answer.
Toilet?
I like toilet water.
Wow.
Yummy.
Weird. I already said I like
toilet. No toilet for me. Bottles. That's why I drink free water during the show.
No toilet for old men.
It's hard to shit in a bottle. Anyway,
right, let's get the next question.
All right, next question. Next question. Which Batman movie is the best portrayal of the character?
They've all sucked. All of them have
really?
Sucked.
Batman Begins.
I can't get past the giant circles with the black mascara, unless they had a scene where Batman's in the Batcave and Robin wants to go, and Robin says, "Batman, where are you?" And, you know, Batman's there saying, "Hold on, Robin, I'll be right there." Putting that mascara.
It's
until they have that scene, the costume looks stupid. Batman has white eyes. He's supposed to look cool. And I don't care about the rest of the film. I think they've all sucked.
That little detail is ruined.
Wow.
That's crazy.
You should start a grassroots campaign. Imagine if Spider-Man's eyes shone through his mask, how stupid that would look. But in Spider-Man, they got the costume perfectly. And Spider-Man looked cool. Batman looks like an idiot. No different with that molded outfit with the neck brace, you know, suit. I mean, come on.
And Adam West looked 10 times better in the TV series.
No, he looked like an idiot too. But the Batman animated series, we were talking about that before. You want to know what Batman, how he should move?
Great costuming
look?
In that.
Batman animated series looks more real than the live action films.
Or Christian Bale with no shirt.
Woo!
Another good answer.
Anybody else?
Hey, yeah. What do you guys think?
The most realistic.
Oh,
I don't know.
Point of the question.
No, you just said the
Batman
best.
Batman Begins. You think Batman Begins is probably the best?
That was hot.
Yeah. The best portrayal. I mean, I enjoy the Batman Begins because it's a little darker version, and that's cool. It's
right.
You know, it's more enjoyable. But I also like the first Batman was just, you know, Michael Keaton did a hell of a job.
Yeah.
You know, so. We can all agree it wasn't George Clooney, though, right?
Yeah, excuse me. One second. You know, you're 8 years old. Your parents get killed. You spend the rest of your life training yourself to physical and mental perfection.
Michael
Are you going to wind up looking like Michael Keaton? No. Sorry.
He's the perfect
Sorry.
Man in my mind.
Everybody's nostalgic.
Don't blame Michael Keaton for that.
Have you ever seen Multiplicity or Mr. Mom?
Yeah.
That dude's a god.
Yeah. I go down to Crunch once a week and tell my trainer I want to look like Michael Keaton.
So far,
you
so
were
good.
Doing amazing. So far, so good.
And he tells you, stop coming.
Yeah.
Save yourself some money.
I got it right now. Let's get the next question.
Go home and get to my screen. All right. These two are very similar, so I'm going to ask both. Are comics relevant? You would all agree, and I'm sure would say yes. But let's see. So do comics accurately reflect today's world?
I make deals with the devil on a daily basis.
So, well, you actually did. You sold your soul.
I sold my soul to NBC Universal.
He can buy his soul back, though, at the end of the year. That's the crazy part.
Seriously, they
bought him.
I can buy myself back.
He can't be on any other show for a whole year, but
really?
At the end of the year, he can buy out NBC to get himself back.
You can buy NBC?
They're letting me pay them money so I can own myself.
Oh.
Yeah. You get to go on Deal or No Deal and win.
That's amazing.
Listen, Print Magazine, which is a trade magazine in the graphic design field, just had a whole story on comics reflecting the Iraq War that are being done. Other than these, you know, mainstream superhero comics, I mean, there's comics by people, Adrian Tomine and Alison Bechdel, you know, people writing about their lives and about themselves.
Shooting War was an amazing graphic.
So, I mean, you know, the broad range of comics, like any other medium, movies or television, there are comics that are totally reflecting what's happening with today's, not only with the world, current events, but with what's going on with people.
Breasts are getting bigger.
Right.
Yeah. More windows and shirts.
My husband is Dutch, and they read a lot of comics over there in Dutchlandia. And he really, like, as a kid, you know, read a lot of comic books. They were really much more chipper, I'd say. But he showed me some the last time we went over there, and it's so funny because you want to talk about, like, cultural relevance specific to each culture. He's like, oh, my God, take it to Russia. Oh, my God, it's so fucking good. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I have no idea. Because some things just don't translate. Like, the pictures, you still need the words, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You should go back
to
school.
Dyke. They put the finger in the dyke thing. I don't know.
Yeah. They made a great book about that. It's a pop-up.
This is interesting. You should. We have another show called Dutch Comic Book Club.
Yeah,
it's right after this.
Huge, much bigger crowd. Like, huge crowd.
It's ridiculous.
They're like wearing their clogs. And
they yeah. Oh, that come on. Yeah.
I know nothing about this.
Was that? This is Dungeons.
You know, if they're in a windmill costume, they're going to
oh,
be in
a windmill costume. My
the New York Times had a story about in Germany, they're going to teach students about the Holocaust in comic book form.
Totally.
And
the way it really happened, or
they're whoa. Doing that. They're doing that in Iran too.
And there, the, yeah, that's it for your audience question. Okay. Loto and ready, booth man. But it is time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah!
Nice! Alright, first thing we have for you guys today is a special little treat. I'm not going to ruin it if you haven't seen it yet. But it is a movie trailer, so enjoy.
Oh, good.
This is
a surprise.
Yeah, this is a surprise.
The machine's on the table, right?
Thanks, Alex.
No problem, guys. Like the thing in the back?
Yeah, put that extra screen up there. A little small.
Pump it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
The movie.
Well, what do you guys think? Are you excited? I know it's tangentially comics, but you're excited to see Indiana Jones?
Yeah, definitely.
No?
I don't know. Nobody wants to see a 60-year-old man go out and like...
What?
I would love to see any 60-year-old man.
If they made a movie with fucking Harrison Ford and Sean Connery,
yeah.
I would fuck that movie. I don't care. The older the better. Oh, God. Because you know what? There's something so hot about an old man lifting up a rock. Do you know what I'm saying? He's like, I can fucking lift you too, fat lady! Come here! You know? Like, I love that! I'll go see that shit any day. Fucking Calista Flockhart's like, I gotta take...
You've betrayed a lot of your fetishes in that sense. Old man lifting you.
I speak simply but truthfully.
The interesting little thing about this is actually the international trailer, and there's the scene where they're standing around, and he's like, this isn't going to be easy. And he's like, not as easy as it used to be. They're holding guns. In the American trailer, they CGI'd out the guns in that shot.
Why?
Because in the MPAA, they state that in trailers, you can't show people holding guns at other people.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Unless it's going to be a rated
R
rated
or something.
Trailer.
Yeah.
Huh. Kind of weird, right?
Yeah. It is weird.
Yeah. That's a fun fact, you guys.
Wow. It's a fact.
Yeah. Anyway, Indiana Jones coming out May 22nd, so look for that. We're going to really help with the promotional efforts for that, so stay tuned. All right, and that's it for the Week in Geek! We're going to move on to the next section, which is trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Bill Burr.
All right! All right, well, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. We give you a chance to win 25 free dollars.
Yeah.
Now I know what you're thinking. I can't be responsible for actual money. So we have a gift card to Midtown Comics. That way you don't have to worry about actual money. So who would like a chance to win 20? Hey, first guy! All right! Yeah! What's your name?
Russell.
Audience Russell.
What up?
All right. We'll put this over here for now. So basically, how it's going to work is you're going to have three questions. For each question, you have three choices. All right. Listen to all three, then make the right decision. And this card could be yours. Okay, so today's topic is the Silver Age of comics. For no particular reason. Here we go. Yeah, use the music. Use the music. All right, here we go.
We chose your favorite song for this.
This
is getting stupid. Both meanings.
Guys, do you mind?
Thanks. Peter Page.
The Silver Age of comics was preceded by
one time.
A, the Golden Age of comics. B, the Bronze Age of comics. Or C, the Age of Aquarius. So it's either going to be A, the Golden Age. B, the Bronze. That's not even a word. Or the Age of Aquarius.
Golden Age.
He's correct! Yay! One for one! One for one!
Or was your mom spaghetti?
Yeah.
The end of the Silver Age is cause for debate. But most agree the period began with DC Comics' A, Showcase number 3, which had Batman in it. B, Showcase number 4, which had The Flash in it.
Yeah.
Or C, Showgirls, which had Jesse Spano in it. Hey.
It was Elizabeth Berkley.
I'll go with The Flash.
Who was Jesse Spano? Yes, that's correct. B! Wow!
I assisted!
Hey! Don't I get a trivia award for
Elizabeth Berkley? Here we go. Last one. 2 for 2 so far. DC introduced the Justice League of America. Marvel answered with A, the Fantastic Four, B, X-Men, or C, Huey Lewis and the News. So it's either A, Fantastic Four, B, X-Men. Well, we all know Huey Lewis and the News. Nobody started them. They were just amazing.
I'll go Fantastic Four.
He's correct! He actually opened it up to make sure it was in there.
No, when you get change, you get the change.
Yeah. No trust.
Cool. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. Yeah, we recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. But what are you guys looking forward to that's coming out tomorrow?
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to check the list yet, actually.
So oh, no.
I'll find out until tonight when I go home.
Oh, we have the list right here.
Oh, really? How convenient.
We'll start with Pete, then.
All right.
Pete?
Ex Machina is coming out. Ex Machina, as you like to pronounce it.
No, I pronounce it Ex Machina.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you say it.
Wow.
I'm not sure which one's
Don't
right.
Don't make me come over there.
I'm not good with words, so I say Ex Machina.
He likes to end the show by insulting one of our guests.
Yeah.
So you're the lucky one.
It's a bit.
It's a fun bit. Okay.
The Runaways is also coming out, which is exciting.
All right. How many can you say?
Justin.
Umbrella Academy number 6.
Ah, yes.
Great series. Great end.
Have you, are you nervous about how it's going to end?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm real nervous. Okay. I don't know what's going to happen. How do we know? We don't know.
You've read it.
Yeah, I know. I was pretending. I was acting.
Okay. You're a bad actor.
Anyway,
Shut up!
It ends very well. I'll definitely pick it up tomorrow. I'm going to say Drafted number 5. I love the series so far. It's great from Devil's Due. It's basically if an alien invasion was about to happen and another alien race came by, I was like, listen, we're drafting you into this war. You have no choice about it, but we're on the side of good. Trust us. What realistically would happen? It's huge. It's massive. Every issue is great. Definitely pick it up.
A new issue of the miniseries Grendel by Matt Wagner
is
coming out. I've been following Grendel, 20 years now? Yeah. I mean, how long has he been doing that? But it's always great. Matt Wagner is one of the great artist writers.
Art's fantastic. Yeah.
It was funny because when Dan Slott was on here, we were talking about it, and he was just saying how upset, because sometimes he'll have like whole panels where it's just like a couple things going on. And like that drives him nuts because he just wants to fill every space up. So it's just kind of interesting, different people's tastes and what they like to do with panels.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Jenna Jameson's Shadowhunter.
Yeah. He read that and liked it.
I was surprised because
I wonder why.
No, but seriously, on the cover it's like, but actually inside there's no TNA. It's just kind of like a story of a girl.
It's
so hopefully
black pages. Words.
Hopefully it won't be like Jenna Jameson. It's just
that's
so
like inside Jenna. There's no TNA. It's just the story of a girl. She's a real person. Don't judge her.
Not anymore.
No. She's made of.
She changed. She sold out.
She's made
she
of really Batman suit.
Well, now that I had a chance to look, Batman and the Outsiders. Yeah. Only because I'm a huge fan of Cassandra Cain. I'm a sucker for Asian girls who don't speak. I mean.
Wow! Speaking of betraying fetishes.
Carolyn, do you have any shows coming up that you would like to plug?
Let's see. What's today? March
Tuesday.
19th Tuesday. Well,
February.
June 4th, the year 2012. If you'd like to come see me and my show that I'm doing with Jenna Jameson. It's going to be at the Pit in an alternate universe after aliens recruit us to be on their team. Every
this
Tuesday.
Is bringing together everything we were just talking
I
about.
I do. Yeah.
So weird.
Face the fear, Delclose. I do a show every Tuesday at Comics. You can come. It's an all-female comedy showcase. Everybody is black and has big boobs.
Tits.
And also you can see me on Ego Trips Miss Rap Supreme in April and Last Comic Standing too.
Oh, nice. Arlen, what about you?
If anybody is a Delta Dental insurance holder, I'm doing an annual report for Delta Dental comic book style. That's on the art front.
Oh man, pick it up.
Breaking ground where no ground is coming for.
Great read.
It's a comic with teeth. And I just wrote an introduction to one of the Marvel Masterworks Thor volumes.
Oh, nice.
And I'm actually working on a comic book project right now that is so top secret that I can't even talk about it. But if it happens, it will change the face of comics as we know it today.
Wow. That's a lie, right?
That's a lie.
Yeah. Well,
Derek. I'm currently working on a screenplay right now for a movie, so hopefully by the time I get done with that 20th draft.
Say where you're working.
Oh, your secret.
Oh, yeah. And I'm currently working with Stan Lee over at Power Entertainment. So,
nice. He's
Who's
really
Stan
old, right?
Stan
Lee. Has he done anything we would know?
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
I mean, there's no devil deals that I know of.
He created Stripperella.
Yeah.
That's all I know. That's all I know. Do you know his real name?
Martin Stanley Lieber.
Trivia. Get him $25.
We don't have another one.
All right,
next week we have an awesome show for you guys celebrating the end of the Cable Deadpool series. We are going to have Fabian Nziska, I didn't know what his name the writer of the series, Riley Brown, the artist, and Nicole Boost, the editor, are all going to be on the show, so that should be a lot of fun.
Awesome.
There's a couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Arlen for being on the show. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're at every single Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Thank you!
Hey, man.
man.
This is a pleasure. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a pleasure having you, man. Thanks so much. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Can I have